WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Good afternoon, ladies and gents. Yes, 1 o'clock has rolled around once again. Welcome to Current Sports. I'm your host, as always, Al Martin, on this beautiful Wednesday, October 23rd, 2013. Yes, it's hump day, and we have plenty to get to on today's show to get you over the hump. MSU Men's Basketball Media Day was yesterday. Yes, it was a great time as Tom Izzo addressed the state of his team as they prepare for the 2013-14 basketball season. Yes, it's just right around the corner. First exhibition game, actually, is October 29th against Grand Valley State. We'll let you hear what Izzo had to say along with his players on the high expectations that surround this year's team. I also want to remind you all that Current Sports TV tapes tonight at 8 p.m. Yes, the time is a little later this week. I sit down with MSU head athletic trainer Sally Nogle. Yes, Nogle was the first female athletic trainer for a football team in the Big Ten Conference, and in July was elevated to MSU head athletic trainer. Nogle has been an athletic trainer at Michigan State for now 30 years. Yes, 30 years, a long tenure here at Michigan State. Now, recording takes place at 8 p.m. tonight at WKAR Studios on the MSU campus. Seats are free, but reservations are strongly recommended. Seating is limited, folks. That's Current Sports with Al Martin, guest Sally Nogle. To reserve your free seats to be in the TV audience tonight, visit WKAR.org. I look forward to seeing each and every one of your smiling faces tonight, all right? I also want to note that we will be taking your calls on we're taking your calls today on yesterday's high school football story in Texas that we brought to you. Now, in Aledo, Texas High School, they beat Fort Worth Western Hills 91-0 over the weekend, and a Western Hills parent has filed a bullying complaint against Aledo coach Tim Buchanan. I don't get that. A bullying report, folks. A bullying report for a 91-0 blowout. Well, we're gonna take your calls throughout the entire show on that story. And do you think sometimes that you just have to learn how to lose? You know, got to take the L sometimes. Give us a call, 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. That's our Barbershop Wednesday segment coming up during the last part of today's Current Sports. Well, let's dive into the show. Here are your current sports headlines on this October 23rd, 2013. All right, Okemos volleyball is alone in first place. After Tuesday night's sweep of Holt, the Okemos volleyball team grabbed first place in the CAAC Blue Division in a tight match, a very tight match that saw momentum swing back and forth. Okemos, they kept their cool and emerged victorious. Jamie Iani, the Okemos coach, volleyball coach, said afterwards, quote, "We had moments of greatness and shifts in the momentum tonight. This team is very even, and I think that worked in our favor." Now, the win put Okemos firmly in the driver's seat of the CAAC Blue, with the last match of the season set against East Lansing next Tuesday. So congrats to Okemos. They are certainly rolling. And Williamston, they advance with a 2-1 win. Now, for the second consecutive season, the Williamston boys soccer team is in the Division III regional finals thanks to first-half goals from Josh Flint and Jacob Chrisholm, and key saves from keeper Jake Ilarani. And the Hornets, they held on for a 2-1 victory again over Essexonville Garber. Never heard of that school before. Now, the Young Hornets, who have only four seniors on their team, they gave a strong, poised effort that caught the attention of Brent Sorg. That's the head coach. He went on to say, quote, "We remain disciplined regardless of whether fouls were called against us or things didn't go our way. Especially for a young team, I thought we maintained our poise and imposed ourselves." The Hornets are set to play Flint Powers Catholic this Saturday in Freeland. All right, six heard gunshots that killed the EMU player that we talked about this yesterday on Current Sports as well. Reports from Ypsilanti say at least six people heard the gunshots that took Eastern Michigan's receiver Demarius Reed's life on Friday night, but none called the police. None. the shooting, which came in the middle of a rash. Rash crimes, both on and off Eastern's campus, has EMU students and staff rethinking campus safety. Now, in addition to the slaying, there were two reported rapes and several assaults, including one involving a pistol whipping in the same apartment complex where Reed was killed. Now, students and staff, they held a town hall meeting Tuesday to try and address the growing problem. And EMU President Susan Martin said, quote, "As much as I like to, I can't police everywhere where our students live. My first responsibility is to the campus. Then we do everything we can do around that." So, again, that's from that's a direct quote from EMU President Susan Martin discussing the slaying of Demarius Reed. And this, the growing crime that's been going on in Ypsilanti, Michigan, around Eastern Michigan University. A report comes out today that at least six people heard the gunshots that took Eastern Michigan receiver Demarius Reed's life on Friday night, but none, yes, none, called the police. That's upsetting stuff right there, because, you know, you never know. It could have saved his life, you know. Folks, if you see something fishy going on, don't be afraid to call the police. That's very disturbing stuff there. All right, Pistons and Wizards. I tell you what, the Pistons just almost blew it. Almost blew it, folks. Greg Monroe had 18 points and 7 rebounds. The Pistons beat the Wizards 99-96 in one of their final tune-ups of the preseason. This is preseason basketball. Now, jumping out to a huge first-half lead, the Pistons ended up needing a key 8-0 run late in the game to seal the victory. Now, Will Bynum had 13 points and 9 assists off the bench, including several alley-oop passes to various Pistons. The Pistons, in their preseason campaign by hosting the Timberwolves, that's right, the Minnesota Timberwolves on Thursday night, the season opener will be a rematch versus the Wizards, who come back to the Palace on October 30th. So they had like a 20-something point lead at one point, folks. I believe a 24-point lead and almost blew it as the time expired. So, the Pistons squeak out one. All right. Detroit Lions wide receiver Nate Burleson scoffed when he heard that Dez Bryant said he believed that he could do whatever Calvin Johnson can. Burleson said Tuesday, quote, "Listen, I like Dez. I think he's one of the best receivers in the game right now. Very talented, fast, big, strong. He possesses all the tools to possibly be as good as Calvin. But he's no Calvin Johnson. He's not Calvin Johnson, excuse me. No way, no how. Sorry, Dez. Keep it real." I totally agree with you, Nate. The conversation started because of a radio interview Bryant gave Monday on 103.3 FM ESPN in Dallas. Bryant expressed a lot of reverence for Johnson. But when asked about the Detroit Pro Bowler and, asked what does Calvin Johnson do anything that he can't, Bryant answered with pride in himself, saying, quote, "I believe I can do whatever he can do. I think it's just a pride thing. When it comes to football, just being on the field, it's a mindset and having a mentality. I honestly believe when I'm there, I'm feeling like there's nothing I can't do. Whatever the coaches ask me to do, I'm going to do it." So Johnson has 33 catches for 492 yards and 6 touchdowns this season, although he missed one game and was limited in another by knee injury. Now, Bryant has 42 catches for 569 yards and 6 touchdowns. So we'll see how this showdown ends up. My money's on Megatron, all right? All right, former Miami coach Frank Haith, who is now at Missouri, that's right, Mizzou, he has been suspended 5 games for his role in the Nevin Shapiro scandal, the NCAA announced on Tuesday. Now, in addition, the Hurricanes men's basketball program will lose one scholarship annually over the next 3 years, and former assistant Jorge Fernandez will receive a 2-year show cause penalty. Now, the entire Miami athletic program has been placed on 3 years probation. So, the NCAA found that Haith, an assistant coach, provided Shapiro $10,000 after he threatened to expose previous improper contact with high school recruits and amateur coaches. So Haith will miss the first 5 games, all at home, Southeast Louisiana, Southern Illinois, Hawaii, and Kansas City, Missouri, and Gardner-Webb and IUPUI. Those are the games that Haith will miss. All right, Jackson State is pursuing legal action, folks. A nearly week-long boycott by the Grambling State University football team, including forfeit of its game against Jackson State this past weekend. They are pretty upset about, the forfeit, and will be taking legal action. Now, Jackson State's homecoming game routinely draws at least 20,000 fans. The school replaced the game with a short scrimmage, but is still refunding money for thousands of tickets. This is a direct quote from the director of communications, Eric Stringfellow. He wrote in a message that, quote, we have a responsibility to Mississippi taxpayers and the JSU community to mitigate our ongoing and substantial losses. So we'll see how that plays out. We will also be talking about the whole Grambling State controversy later on in today's Current Sports. So stick around for that. Tiger Woods, Golf Channel analyst Brandel Chambly apologized to Tiger Woods via Twitter on Tuesday for a golf.com column he wrote last week insinuating that Woods was a cheater for his various roles and transgressions this year. Now, Chambly, a former PGA Tour player, had written an analysis piece for golf.com in which he assessed several top players' years by giving them letter grades. He gave Tiger Woods, who won five times this year on the PGA Tour and was the PGA Tour's Player of the Year, he gave Tiger an F. Can you believe that? He wrote that, quote, when I was in fourth grade, I cheated on a math test, and when I got the paper back, it had a 100 at the top, and just below the grade was this quote, quote, oh, what a tangled web we weave when we first first practice to deceive. That's the quote under his math test that he received, and it was often quoted line from the epic poem Merriam by Sir Walter Scott. And my teacher's message was clear. Written once more beneath that quote was my grade of 100, but this time with a line drawn through it, and beneath that was an F. So that's the reason why he gave Tiger Woods an F. He goes on that long story, which really makes no sense in how it pertains to Tiger Woods. But anyway, below the summary was 100. Again, that's an F beneath it. There's nothing you can call a golfer worse than a cheater. That's a direct quote from Woods' agent, Mark Steinberg, on Friday. And he goes on to say, this is the most deplorable thing I have seen. So that basically just seems like a hater right there. I tell you what, the rules in golf, I remember in the summertime, we had Max Rebner here, who was a golf pro in the Lansing area, and talked about, you know, how the rules of golf, I mean, they're so easy to break sometimes. I mean, just the littlest thing can cause you a match, you know. And I don't know, this whole story to me, you know, with this golf analyst, again, Brandel Chambly, just seems like he's just hating on Tiger. I don't know. But anyway, those are your current sports headlines on this hump day. If you want to comment on any of those, give us a call, 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. And our Barbershop Wednesday topic today concerns the high school football story out of Texas, in which a team blew out its opponent 91-0. Yes, 91-0. One parent took the beating so personal that he has decided to file a bullying complaint against the winning coach. Can you believe that, folks? What do you think of that? And don't you think that some people just have to learn how to take the L, take the loss, and just shut up, man? 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. Give us a call, and we'll definitely be talking about that. Again, that's our Barbershop Wednesday segment that we'll be diving into later on Current Sports, so don't go anywhere. All right, well, MSU Basketball Media Day. That's right, men's basketball team, they held their media day yesterday. Current Sports was there. Matt and I headed out there, and, you know, Izzo addressed the media, had his presser for about an hour, and then afterwards got to have a one-on-one with the players on the main floor of the Breslin Center. It was a fun time. Always love media day, diving into the expectations that Tom has of this team. And, of course, every preseason poll that you read, the MSU men's basketball team is ranked either one or two, their favorite to win the Big Ten. A lot of pressure, a lot of expectation, and here's Tom Izzo addressing his high expectations and the nation's high expectations of this year's basketball team.
Think you have a chance every year, you don't. I mean, you got to sell it that way to them, to sometimes alums, to sometimes media. But, I mean, every year you don't have the same chance you have in certain years. And this is just one of those times where you have an opportunity to do something that you know, lasts a lifetime. And so, consequently, I told him I'm going to be more demanding of him, hold him to a higher standard. I mean, we're trying to do things now that few teams will do. We're trying to get to another Final Four. You know, I don't know how many teams that have a streak like that going 20 years. It's not many. I mean, we're trying to win another national championship. You know, there's not a lot of margin for error when you're trying to do that, as we all learn. And, you know, we've been to, what, five or six of the last six or seven Sweet 16s, and we put ourselves in a position, but that's not good enough. You know, just not good enough. It's nice, and someday You know, if thank God now I get to go 10 more years to try to catch Leland, but if I was him, then you get to enjoy it when it's over. But you really don't get to during it because you just know there's so much more out there. And so I guess coach a little different. I don't know. This team, I don't seem to have to be on as much because they're more self-motivated and self-driven. And that's what you really like about a team. If the team is self-motivated, self-driven, and good at self-evaluating, then I think you got a chance to be really, really good. If Kenny Kaminsky can tell you that, if somebody else can say, I didn't play that well in practice, or if somebody says, you know, you ask a question after practice, how'd you play, and he says, great, and you watched him and you thought he was awful, I got problems, you know. So I've become bigger on self-evaluation and self-motivation. And if those two things work hand in hand, like I think they are with this team, it gives us that chance. And I think I don't have to coach them maybe as hard. You know, I just have to make sure they understand what their goals and dreams and what they decided as a team they want to accomplish.
So, again, that was Tom Izzo. That's Tom Izzo at Media Day yesterday addressing the high expectations surrounding his team and how he goes about motivating them this upcoming season. Here, you know, and like I said, I mean, every preseason poll you look at, MSU is ranked very, very high, favorite in the nation in many polls to win the whole thing. And, you know, with that brings a little pressure. And here's the players' take on these high expectations coming into this season.
I mean, we like it because it shows that people respect us, but at the same time, we understand that it doesn't really mean anything because I've been here where we were ranked second in the nation and lost in the first round in the NCAA tournament, you know. So we know that we got to work as hard or even harder than any other team around in the country, you know, because each and every night teams are going to be gunning for us.
I mean, I don't mind it. I mean, I feel like, I mean, we have a team, we're capable, sky's the limit with us. I mean, we kind of don't really think of it as pressure. I mean, we just thinking of just going out there, just trying to be the best. I mean, we want to win the Big Ten. We want to be seen as one of the best teams in the country. So, I mean, we got to go out there and we have to play like it.
This program hasn't been ranked like that since, well, it was like 2010. So I say, like, but as far as this team, you know, we don't get the big head. We're not, you know, cocky about it. You know, we don't even, I think, you know, guys like, you know, Gary and Adrian and myself and Keith, you know, we don't even look at the press, you know, the polls and the magazines and all that. You know, we just, you know, tell each other we're just ready to play.
You know, it's good to be, you know, ranked number two and everything, but, you know, no matter what, at the end of the day, you got to go out on the court and, you know, prove it. Nobody's just going to give nothing to you. So being ranked number two, yeah, it's all cool, but until you lose a couple games, then you drop down, and then who's saying stuff about you now?
Yeah, so that was Keith Appling, Gary Harris, Brandon Dawson, and Denzel Valentine addressing the preseason polls and just the pressure and the expectations that many have for this MSU basketball team. Again, the rankings are high and the heat is on, to be honest with you, and the players just seem to be going, you know, taking it in stride, and they have the right mindset, I tell you that. Here's also, you know, when we talk about guys like Gary Harris and, of course, Adrian Payne, I mean, two players who were, you know, many. I mean, I think if they would have came out in the draft, they would have been, you know, possibly top 10 picks, without a doubt. I mean, went to the NBA. You know, and addressing that, Tom Izzo definitely addressed that on why, you know, Gary and AP decided to come back and, you know, give another go at this thing. And, you know, Izzo also had some thoughts on the NBA as a whole. Here he is addressing that.
More and more people, NBA people, are convincing all of us, do you want to get drafted in the first round, have a cup of coffee, or do you want to have a career? And, boy, to have a career nowadays when they're sending, last year I think 19 players went down to the D League. You know, I'm not sure. Now, Gary Harris, I think he could have handled that. But I'm not sure everybody can handle that. So there's so many different factors than there were a couple years ago, you know. Things have changed with the different player agreements and now with the different salary caps and different things. So there's a lot of different things that are going on. And to be honest with you, I did some checking on Gary. His parents asked that we did, and they did, and that thing was over so fast I didn't even give him a chance to get my answer. That's what Gary decided to do. AP's was a lot longer process, to be honest with you. And And the good news for me is I don't think it's affected either one of them. I thought it would affect AP, if you want the truth. I thought it would affect him. I told him when he said, I'm coming back, I said, no, you're not. Not until me and you sit down. You know, don't tell me over the phone because I'm in Virginia recruiting, because that's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for you to be dying to come back, or otherwise I would advise you to go. And, you know, his high school coaches, as you know the story, were very involved. And what happened, happened. And I thought for a week I was a little bit like this. But, boy, after that week, he had one hell of a summer and has really matured as a person. And it's been fun to watch him grow. So it's different for every guy. But I think you're going to see stats that we haven't seen yet. A lot of guys that are coming out, first of all, didn't get drafted. A lot of guys that are coming out in 5 or 6 years from now, we're going to see how many had one contract and then were out. And as we know, one contract worth $2-3 million for 2 years, and we all pay taxes. We know where half of it is. It's gone. And I do feel for some of these kids. And the ones that, if Gary Harris would have come out and made it, nobody'd be happier than I would be. And as I said, you all better understand this. I get accused of wanting my players to stay. I do. I get accused in recruiting of that. And it's such a joke. I mean, it is such a joke, because if a player goes to the NBA, gang, it's better than winning a national championship from a recruiting standpoint. There is no question about it. So anybody that's good enough and I think is going to better his life, I'm happy as 10 men for him. I really am.
So, yeah, that was Tom Izzo addressing, you know, the media during his press conference at Media Day, talking about the, you know, his two players that, you know, definitely had a chance to go to the NBA. I tell you what, Gary Harris and Adrian Payne. I mean, like I said, if they would have came out last season, I think they would have been two top 10 picks. But, you know, they decided to come back and, you know, have another round, you know, go around at it. And, you know, that was Tom Izzo addressing his general thoughts on that and the thought process that Gary went through and Adrian Payne went through on coming back, and his general thoughts on the NBA, which he makes very valid arguments. You know, probably, you know, throughout that entire presser, the quote that stood out to me the most was Tom Izzo when you talk about his role this season on motivating and trying to get more out of his team and certain players as a whole. And he had a pretty interesting quote on making players drink. Listen to this.
You know, we've got to make sure that it's you know, players play the game and players determine. I said the other day, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. You know, I heard that when I was this big, and I heard it now, and I think everybody else does. I said, this year we're going to make some guys drink. We're going to make them drink. If they don't want to drink, they're going to drink. Okay? So, water. let me make sure I finish that. But, yeah, it is exciting because I don't think there's any question Dawson's still one of the more talented guys. I mean, Harris, I think all four of those guys. I don't think Valentine's seen his ceiling yet. I think Trice is starting to see his this summer, and I really like what he's doing.
So, yeah, I love that quote on Izzo making players drink. I mean, he, you know, last season Izzo would bring that saying up a lot. You know, you can bring a horse to water, but you cannot make it drink. He said that a lot last season, but this year he's going to make players drink. I love that. I love the fire behind that quote. And you know, overall, I think this team will match the high expectations that are out there. I mean, that's just me talking though. But Matt, you were also at Media Day, man. What stuck out for you?
Just how excited Tom Izzo was that everyone had a healthy summer, and how much he kind of was impressed with the improvements from everyone. He mentioned just about everybody, as far as everyone on the team has improved. I mean, he had specific examples for everybody. The guy I'm personally most excited to see this season is Trice. Travis Trice, you finally got healthy after the scary injuries and illness last season.
Yeah, and they said that, you know, I didn't know that illness. And he said yesterday, I mean, that illness was so – it was a freak illness. It came out of nowhere.
Life-threatening.
It was life-threatening. I had no idea that, you know, Izzo was worried about his life, you know, with that illness. And, you know, we talked to him yesterday, and he talked about how, during that moment, you know, when he went through the concussions and he got that illness, I mean, he got close to God. Very spiritual guy, and he definitely talked about that and harped on that, you know, how it was a spiritual healing for him going through that, and he's glad to be back. I'm excited to see how he plays this upcoming season. So
yeah, and then the other big thing that stuck out to me, he talked pretty much for the entire hour about how the team kind of motivated itself. He said they don't have captains yet,
right?
And it's the first time they've ever not had captains at this point, and he hasn't been worried about it.
No, he said he was perfectly fine with it.
Everybody's holding everybody accountable.
Right.
It's definitely a team atmosphere. And the big quote that stuck out to me was Draymond Green visiting over the summer.
Yeah.
And he said, "Coach, I would die to play with this team."
Yeah.
That is something you want to hear at this part of the season. You want to hear it all season.
Right.
But if there's a good sign, among all these other good signs, that's the one that stuck out to me the most.
That's huge.
Draymond Green would die to play with this team.
Yeah, that definitely was another memorable part of that presser yesterday. And, looking at it, I mean, as far as captains go, Izzo said yesterday he has not decided on who is going to be the captains for this team. And, you know, he stood up there perfectly fine with that. You know, he said, "I'm perfectly fine with it. I'm comfortable with it. You know, that'll come with time." And, he talked about another aspect of things. He talked about how he thinks the Big Ten will be better this season, which is – that's crazy to think about. You know, looking at how good the Big Ten was last season, and Izzo thinks it's going to be even better competition this season. I'm excited for it. And, he also talked about Denzel, and he said that Denzel Valentine gets the hardest worker of the summer, hardest worker of the summer award. And, and we talked with Denzel yesterday on, how turnovers, I mean, that's something that we talked about a lot last season when it concerns Denzel Valentine. And he knows that's something that he needs to improve on. And he seems very confident. He talked yesterday about how, he had the high school mentality still coming into his first year, how he would see certain things and try to force certain things, plays that, you know, would probably make happen in high school. But this is college basketball, and this is a different level. And he has to take his time and think out those plays now. And I'm excited, man, to see how Denzel plays this season, because I think he's a guy who the sky's the limit for him. His court vision is unbelievable. If he just knows how to tune that down a little bit and read the court better and pick and choose his spots, he's going to be something special this season, I think. He's going to be a breakout player that, is going to be turning a lot of heads this season, I think. So.
Absolutely. And, they always, media members and coaches always talk about guys making the biggest leap between year one and year two.
Right.
And it's like you said, that the first year, it was an adjustment period. He had to adjust to the speed of the game. You know, the plays aren't going to be there that were there in high school. Easy,
right.
You know, highlight reel passes, not going to happen. You got to play solid ball, especially if you're going to play in the Big Ten, which is probably the best conference in the country, I would say.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the ACC is good, but I think the Big Ten's better top to bottom.
Right, right.
And just to see the kind of progress he's made, you know, everyone was healthy this summer. I'm looking for Dawson to improve, too.
Because this really is
year one to year two because of his injury last season.
Right.
I'm excited to see him finally take off and be the prospect that he was when he came here out of high school.
Yeah, because if you look at last season, I'll get you just a sec, Alex. If you look at last season for Brandon Dawson, I mean, he had some breakout games, and you said, I mean, at the very beginning of that season, I was like, oh, Brandon Dawson is going to be something special. You know what I mean? He's going to be a beast. And all of a sudden, as the season went on, I mean, he kind of just fizzled out, and, you know, you could tell on certain plays, he was still thinking subconsciously about that torn ACL. Not jumping high enough, worried about coming down wrong on it. And we talked yesterday, that's the first thing I asked him, and he said, "Hey, I'm ready. That's all gone now. I'm not even thinking about the knee anymore." You know, so
yeah, because plays where he should have been like breaking the backboard, would miss a layup.
Right. Exactly.
You know? And that shouldn't happen. The guy's way too athletic. He should be throwing down on just about everybody.
Exactly. Exactly. Alex.
No, and back to Dawson. I don't know what you guys thought, but coming back from those injuries, he was playing. He's playing like he never was really injured last year.
Yeah, at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, physically, he looked pretty fine. It was just the mental thing. And yeah, he did. I mean, because Izzo compared him to Peterson and said, you know, it's amazing what Dawson did. And then when you look at Peterson, it's even more amazing what he did. And the expectations were a little bit higher because of the level that Peterson played at.
I don't know if you guys remember.
People just expected him to come back and be the same guy.
Right, exactly. I don't know if you guys remember. I forget what game it was, but it was a game where Dawson, it looked as though it might have been serious, but he came down wrong. And it happened to be his ankle. It wasn't his knee. But he actually went to the – you guys remember that? He went to the locker room, and everybody's thinking, oh, no, not again. And it seemed like that moment right there, after that moment happened, it was like you could just see Dawson was constantly thinking about that leg. You know what I mean? Constantly thinking about that knee, you know? And I just hope this season – I mean, he said yesterday that that's in the past now. He's not thinking about it. He's 100%. He's ready to go out there and give it full, you know, full throttle. So definitely excited about this team, though. It was a fun time.
Now, with the success of Michigan last year, do you think that anything has changed with the expectations for Michigan State? Although Michigan, of course, had Trey Burke as Player of the Year, I mean, does Michigan State have an expectation to have their own Player of the Year? Do you think that Michigan State...
I don't think the to be honest, I think probably, if anything, the expectations have kind of elevated this season just because you lost nothing, really. You lose Derek Nix, but Derek Nix was, you know, spotty. You're not losing anything. You bring back Gary Harris. You bring back Adrian Payne. Everyone else, I mean, look at Michigan. They lost Trey Burke. Trey Burke's gone now. He's in the NBA. I mean, Michigan State lost nothing looking at the end of it. I mean, if anything, like I said, if you look at the rankings tell it all. I mean, everyone's expecting MSU to be a powerhouse this season. So, if anything, I don't think the expectations have diminished. They've elevated, if anything.
So, early Big Ten predictions, where do you see Ohio State in that mix? Do you see Michigan State as one?
I think Michigan State wins the Big Ten.
I think they
do, too. If they stay healthy, they win the Big Ten.
They've got more talent and experience than everybody else in the conference. Michigan and Ohio State are going to be really good. Wisconsin's always there.
Yeah,
I mean, they'll be lurking at four. Iowa's way improved. Northwestern's going to start turning things in the right direction with Chris Collins as their coach.
Excited to see how Michigan plays this season. I mean, without, you know, Trey Burke, I want to see how big of a blow that is to their offense now, you know? And, you know, we'll see how it happens. And also, Izzo, another thing that Izzo harped on yesterday was how he thinks, you know, defense will be the strength of this team again this season. We talked with Gary Harris. Gary Harris, Keith Appling has always been a great defender, one of the best. You can make a case that, you know, he is one of the best point guard defenders in the entire nation. Maybe the best this season. I don't know. Gary Harris is definitely, he talked about yesterday how he's improved defensively his game. So defense is going to be there for the Spartans. They're going to be tough to score on this season. So I'm excited about it, man. I'm definitely excited about it. All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break and then come right back. Again, we are asking you all to call in today. Our Barbershop Wednesday topic today concerns the high school football story out of Texas in which a team blew out its opponent 91-0. One parent took the beating so personally that he decided to file a bullying complaint against the winning coach. Can you believe that? What do you think of that? And do you think that some people just need to learn how to take the L sometimes? 517-355-9527. Give us a call again. That's 517-355-9527. Current Sports will be right back.
I'm Robin Young. Next time on Here and Now, a food scientist explains why products labeled pumpkin are everywhere, but real pumpkin, not so much.
You've got a coffee cup, some coffee in it, the decoction, then you've got the cream, the sweetness, etc. If you put a dollop of pumpkin into it, it would taste awful.
That's next time on Here and Now from NPR and WBUR Boston.
That's Here and Now, coming up at 2 p.m.
Hi, I'm WKAR's Emmanuel Berry, host of Current State Weekend. Spend your weekends with me as I highlight current state weekday stories and explore mid-Michigan's vibrant arts and culture scene. We'll cover from the latest at Wharton Center to the diverse individuals that make Michigan's creative sector sing. It's Current State Weekend, Saturdays at 2 and Sundays at 1 on AM 870 WKAR.
Welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Let's quickly dive into MSU football. Of course, Mark D'Antonio. It was a busy day yesterday in the world of MSU sports media, I tell you that. Of course, Mark D'Antonio had his morning presser at 11:30. And, of course, Max Bulla. We talked about this on the show the other day. Max Bulla was named Defensive Player of the Week, Big Ten Defensive Player of the Week. And here's D'Antonio addressing that.
Well, you know, he's a centerpiece for our football team. He's a very controlling figure. He's been a three-year starter now, played on special teams as a true freshman in 2010. He knows our defense inside and out. He knows it as well as our coaches. And, you know, what he does is his fits are very good. His gap, his fits in his gap, takes on offensive linemen, you know, creates situations where the ball has to bounce. He doesn't get washed down the field too often. He's very good in pass coverage. He's got great hands. And he's a very controlling person. He's a very communicative person. And you need that at the Mike linebacker. So he's a great blitzer, obviously. We blitz him a lot. You know, we blitz a lot, period. But I think he's all over the field. And, you know, the bigger the game, the more he's the better he's going to play usually. And you know, because of his past here and the traditions that are held in his family, I mean, this is very, very important to him. So he's done an outstanding job for us.
Yeah, that's MSU head football coach Mark D'Antonio addressing Max Bulla being named Defensive Player of the Week in the Big Ten Conference. Max Bulla is the engine that drives that defense, Alex.
Yeah, well, something that really was interesting to me is the bigger the game, the better he plays. Mm-hmm. And with the way Michigan State's makeup is, you can make some of that same argument for, I don't know, not too many players. I mean, mm-hmm. I think that's pretty interesting that Max plays better in bigger games. I mean, that's something that a lot of players, like we've seen with some quarterbacks in the past, have been unable to do, play well in big games. So.
Quarterback, you're talking about this season?
Yeah.
So far? Yeah, that's that quarterback situation. We can go on and on about that. But, yeah, Max is, like I said, he's the engine behind that defense, and his leadership ability is something that really sticks out to me. He's able to rally the troops, get them ready each and every weekend, and you know, he does a great job. I mean, you can talk to any player on that MSU defense, and they'll say that Max is just—he's an unbelievable leader, and he shows it. He shows it on the field. I mean, you saw—you know—the one of the only scores for MSU, of course, it was a 14-0 game, but one of those scores was because of Max. You know, sacking Etling, and then all of a sudden you have Denicos Allen returning the touchdown.
Right, and at the beginning of the year, we thought that, I personally thought Shalee Calhoun was that playmaker to start.
Right.
But now, I mean, after Will Golson left last year, who's going to be the playmaker? Now it's kind of shifting towards Max in the last 2 weeks.
Well, even though, you know, that, you know, Shalik had those, you know, scores. I mean, he was outscoring the MSU offense at the beginning of the year. I mean, even last year, if you look at Will Golson in, you know, previous years, the time that that Max Bulla has been here, he's still been the leader of that team. You know what I mean? Players make plays, but at the same time, Max, without Max, those plays don't happen.
I mean, and he does more things than just the stuff that shows up in the stat sheet.
Exactly.
And that's like what Coach D'Antonio was talking about, where he's, you know, filling
right.
his gaps, you know, occupying a man so that somebody else can go in and make the tackle. And there was at least one play last week where, and, you know, he does a lot of his stuff before the ball is even snapped, you know, because he is the quarterback of the defense. He's
right.
organizing everybody, you know, putting everybody in the right spot. And there were a few plays where Purdue would line up. You know, they do the thing where they look back at the sideline. I hate that. I hate when no-huddle offenses do that, where they line up and then they turn to the sideline and look at the coach for 15 seconds.
Right, right,
but
right.
But they're changing the play. Max is changing State's defensive play, and then Purdue's scrambling to change it back. And they're just playing cat and mouse before the snap. So
yes.
he's like part player, part coordinator.
I totally agree, man. That's a great point because, you know, now that you say that, there was a moment the Iowa game, where Max is like playing cat and mouse with Iowa head coach Kirk, of course, and he's changing stuff. You know, the quarterbacks are changing stuff, looking at the sideline, changing stuff. Max is changing stuff. It led to them having to burn a timeout.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And that's huge. That's huge
yeah.
in the big scheme of things.
I mean,
the guy, he makes plays before the ball's even snapped.
He's such
an
intelligent.
You can't say that for a lot of players.
Yeah, he's so intelligent. He just has a knack for the game. And also, you know, we got to talk about the MSU offense because that was a huge struggle. I mean, they only had 112 yards through the air. Purdue actually, you know, had more yardage through the air than MSU. Purdue had 160 yards through the air this past weekend. Definitely struggled. Connor Cook definitely struggled. And D'Antonio also addressed that yesterday.
Anytime you have any problems, I think, on your football team, you're going to want to try and address those problems. I don't care what it is. When they ran the football a little more effectively early in the game the other day, we're going to address those issues. So you're constantly trying to put together your best football team on every given Saturday, and that's our focus. Does it mask the problems that we're having a little bit offensively? I don't know. 6-1 is 6-1. At the end of the day, in 2011, they only asked one question: how many games you won? Where did that take you to? You know, really, I mean, how good was our defense relative to how good was our offense that year? You know, you guys may remember. I don't remember as much. But I know what we have to do to win, and so we have to play things close to the vest. That's what we do. If we have to win it 13-10, that's what we do. If we have to win it 43-40, then that's what we'll do. And so I think you have to play off each other and how the game is proceeding, too, and the game is going on. We have to take the air out of the ball and run the football, and that's what we have to do to beat Purdue.
I hope he does that, because there's been times where we watch this MSU offense and the running game is going well, you know, and then all of a sudden they start passing the ball. And you're saying, why deviate from it?
Right.
I hope he does stick to that quote. Go ahead, Alex. You have them.
No. I that's actually exactly what I was going to hit on. But with Illinois, that's a no-huddle offense that's going to definitely put five out. They're going to go to the air against the defense. So is Michigan State going to get that run game with Illinois' run defense? It's not the best in the world. So.
I think MSU's going to pound it on the ground. I think Jeremy Langford will have a big day. You'll probably see Delton out there. I think, you know, I think they'll mix him in a little bit this weekend. But, Illinois, they have a great aerial attack. They punish you through the air. And MSU, like I said, if it comes out that Cook is struggling this weekend like he did last weekend, go to that run game. Langford's been great, and stick to it. Don't deviate from it. You know what I mean? If it's going well, keep pounding it. You know what I mean? We'll see what happens.
And Illinois, like Alex said, they are not good defensively.
No, not at all.
They're 11th in the conference. MSU is 6th on rushing offense. And though Illinois' passing attack is pretty stout, you know, they're 2nd in the conference as far as passing yardage, Nathan Shielhouse has not played particularly well against the top teams on Illinois' schedule. He struggled against Washington. He struggled mightily against Wisconsin. I mean, he had some really good games early in the season when they were playing, you know, the pre-conference schedule, and then as the tougher teams came on, he started to struggle a little bit. MSU's the number one passing defense. They're the number one everything defense in the Big Ten.
Best defense in the nation, man.
So I don't know if Illinois is going to be running up and down the field. They might break a couple on us, especially because Shielhouse does have the added mobility aspect that you know, they've got to be wary of. But I don't see this turning into a track meet, and hopefully MSU's coaches are patient enough to stick with the run game, because that's going to win them the game.
Yeah, I think Illinois would definitely, you know, beat the MSU defense, you know, here and there. But like I said, this is not going to be a shootout. You know what I mean? By no means.
And Matt, look for the look to the sidelines on the no huddle that you saw against Purdue this weekend.
Yeah,
it's gonna happen.
Right. Exactly. Well, I believe we have a caller on line one. How you doing? Welcome to Current Sports.
How you doing today, sir?
Great.
Yeah, I wanted to comment on the Michigan State running game and then how well Langford's done. I think he's shown tremendous improvement. Obviously, the last couple games, the running game has been there and especially carried the team against Purdue. I think the one issue, though, and I know Delton didn't get a lot of carries this last game, is I think throughout the whole season, Michigan State has struggled in short yardage. Third and one is not their friend. I'm not going to lay it all at the feet of the backs. I think sometimes the Lions had a hard time. But as good as Langford's been, you know, we kind of need the J.U. Culprick, you know, the Scott Green. I think that's one issue in the running game that has affected us all season. Mm-hmm. We do not have a short yardage back, and it's hurt us in some football games. It really has.
Yeah, I totally agree. Thank you for your call. Appreciate it. He makes a great point, because there have been many instances where MSU has had short yardage situations where, they either pass it in a flat route, to be honest with you, you've seen that multiple times. We're like, what are you doing? And we've seen them just not convert on it, you know, get stopped at the line. And I think that's where a Delton Williams comes into play, because Delton is more of a power back. He's more of a ground and pound type of guy who can take the hit and get you 2 yards when you need it. And, Jeremy Langford is, you know, he's not really – he's a finesse type of back, you know. And I think they need to use him more in those situations. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Yeah, and, you know, the short yardage struggles certainly affected us in the red zone too.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they've struggled, you know,
multiple
converting
times.
Red zone opportunities into touchdowns because they couldn't run the ball.
Right.
And earlier in the season, Delton Williams wasn't as much of a factor. And whether that's because they just didn't think he was ready or he wasn't familiar enough with the playbook, I think that's changing. I mean, we saw he was inserted in Iowa. He played a lot against Indiana. Didn't play a lot last week.
No,
but
not at all.
Langford was really running well.
Right.
And he kind of – he was the hot back, and that's what they do. They ride the hot back. But
right.
Moving forward, as the line continues to gel and get stronger, that's the big thing, especially in short yardage plays. When you
right,
only have
right.
to get a yard, a lot of it's going to be on the offensive line to get at least a little bit of a push.
Exactly.
Because you're not going to be gaining anything when your guys are being pushed back 2 yards into the backfield and you have to bounce it outside or something. It's just not going to happen. It starts and ends with the trenches.
Right. And going back to, you know, not scoring when you get to the red zone, because there's been many, many, multiple times where, you know, I think that was, you know, that was their Achilles heel when you look at that Notre Dame game. I mean, many times they would get down the field and just stall out. You know what I mean? And a lot of that has to do also with the play calling. The play calling for MSU has to get better. Who that falls on, I mean, you got Jim Bowman, you got Dave Warner, what's going on, you know? And that has to become better. The decision-making has to become better in the quarterback position. There's multiple factors that also weigh into that. And, you know, we'll see if, you know, week by week, we'll see. I'm you know, there's a lot of things we're going to be looking at this weekend and see if they can correct those issues. So, all right, guys, let's move on. We got 15 minutes. Let's dive into this Barbershop Wednesday topic. It's an interesting topic, to say the least. For those of you who don't know and are listening right now, this story comes out of Texas. Two high school football teams. If I can get these teams right, Alito's undefeated Bearcats. They faced Fort Worth's Western Hills on the football field on this past weekend, Friday. Excuse me. The final score was a whopping 91-0. It led one parent to file an official complaint of bullying. Yes, bullying, folks, against the entire coaching staff. Unbelievable stuff there. Alito's football coach said, quote, "I would never ask our kids not to play hard." This is coming from the coach who is, you know, getting this bullying complaint. "I would never tell them go out and let them score. That's not what you want to teach kids." Now, Tim Buchanan, this is the coach, the head coach of that team who had the 91-0 victory. Buchanan said by halftime, when his team was up by 56 points, he began actively trying to keep the score down, subbing and backup players, you know, letting the clock run continuously, and instructing players to make fair catch calls. He goes on to say, quote, "You don't want to embarrass. I've been on the other side of those scores. In 2011, Lake Travis scored 62 points on us. That doesn't feel good. It doesn't make the kids feel good." So I could go on and on, guys. Let's dive right into it. Again, a bullying complaint. One of the parents took a personal, filed a bullying complaint, said, "Hey, this ain't cool, man. You're running up the score." So, Matt, go ahead. Kick it off.
This is just ridiculous on multiple levels.
It is.
The coach pretty much did everything he could to keep the score down, like you said. They ran 32 plays, scored on a third of them.
Right.
What is he supposed to do? They had a player who had 5 touches and scored 4 touchdowns. They had consecutive punt returns for touchdowns. They're number one in the state in their division. And if you're number one in Texas, you are going to be a good football team. They average 70 points per game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the thing. This is nothing new.
Right. You know they are a high-scoring team.
Right.
And granted, you know, the Western Hills was overmatched, and that's fine. But when you have a running clock, you throw the ball 10 times in the mm-hmm. entire game.
Right.
What else is he supposed to do to stop his players from scoring? If you're a third-string guy and you're getting playing time,
right,
you're going to be busting your butt trying to make a play.
Exactly.
You know, I don't care what the score is. You're on the field for the first time all season.
Right.
You're going to be going as hard as you possibly can.
You know, and when you look at this story, what bothers me, particularly about this story, is that, you know, I look at it, and this is a parent who just really kind of took it too personal. You have a coach on the other end who, as you just said, Matt, who is doing everything in his power to make sure that the score doesn't get ran up, if you will. I think in that game, I mean, the opposing team had, you know, only about 30 players compared to the other team. I mean, this was doomed for failure. And it's not like Alito, you know, had – you know, this is something new. I mean, they were averaging close to 70 points per game. And this is just a coach taking, you know, something too personal. At some point, I said it, you know, at the beginning of the show. I mean, sometimes you got to learn how to lose. That's what people have to learn sometimes. There's a learning process that, you know, to be a winner, you have to carry yourself in a certain manner. There's a certain way you act when you win. You know, you don't shove it in the other person's face. You take it, you be classy about it. And that's the same that goes for losing as well. When you lose a game like this, where the opposing coach is doing everything in his power to not run up the score. And if the opposing team just can't stop you, I mean, that's not on the coach. You know what I mean? He's doing what he can to stop this. You're taking it too personal, man. You know? Alex, what do you – I know.
All right, guys, here's the thing. In an ideal world, there would be a forfeit, okay? If it's 90 points or, in most cases in high school football, if you don't have enough players on the field, then it's a forfeit. I mean, we've seen it in Michigan. I've seen forfeits at least once a week because a team either can't get 11 guys on the field or they don't have – more than 15.
Once a week, you've seen a forfeit. That's a lot of forfeits.
Yeah, no, about once a week, there's usually a forfeit.
Wow.
Your boy Freddie, he's got the scores going on.
That's crazy.
At WLNS. But
yeah.
What I want to know, guys, is here's the thing: there would be a forfeit, but there has to be some respect. And yeah, what can you do? It's getting late in the game, and you know, if they're just scoring and they're playing their third string guys, then they're just scoring. But how about some of the situations where you see a special needs player come in the game, they let him score, or if it's up big, sometimes the team will like let loose a little bit. I have no problem with them doing that. But at the same time, guys, we weren't there. It's just one article. The players could have been throwing 91 points up and rubbing it in their faces. They could have been in their faces.
Well, actually,
oh, yeah, baby.
Actually, Alex, the complaint pointed out that the kids actually expressed good sportsmanship. All the players on both teams showed good sportsmanship both before, during, and after the game.
Right.
It was solely on the coaches. And the problem I have is it's bad for bullying. This is taking away from actual bullying. This is not bullying.
This is not.
There are kids, 12-year-olds, who are, you know,
really
contemplating suicide because, you know, their classmates are terrorizing them day in and day out.
Right.
And then this gets lumped in. It takes away from actual bullying. It's bad news.
This is a
bad for
game.
Society.
This is a football game.
Ugh.
At the end of the day, these are high school kids going out there and playing a football game that just didn't happen. You know, it didn't go in the, you know, in favor of the other team. I mean, and like you said, based on what we just know, Alex, just looking at the facts and what we know, the reports that have come out, looking at those facts that, you know, Tim Buchanan was doing everything he could to make sure that the score didn't get run up. I mean, it's not his fault that the opposing team just can't stop him. You know what I mean? That's not on the coach.
Well, that's the thing.
That's just a bad
thing. The bullying thing, I understand. It's not bullying, but you can definitely stop from running up the clock.
No,
How about just taking a lot of kneels?
You want the kids to give up?
No, you're not.
What does that teach your players
it's not giving
if they're
up.
Taking knees with and, 9
right.
minutes left in the third
you
quarter?
You still got
not,
a lot of game
knees,
to play.
Maybe just letting them go on offense a little bit, maybe on the defensive side of the ball, not stopping them as much.
This isn't Pee-wee football.
Of course it's not Pee-wee. It can be not Pee-wee if you just let them run the ball a little bit. Let them get a couple 5-yard, 10-yard gains, and just let the clock keep running.
I don't know what you've been taught. Growing up, when I played sports, I was taught you do everything in your power to win the game, especially at high school level. In Pee Wee football, that's a more light level.
But you're
going to
win the game, Al. You're going to win.
But so you give up. You just stop playing at a certain point.
No,
I mean,
It
was probably 56 to nothing at halftime. So you're going to go an entire half of not playing football and just give up?
No, you're going to play, but you understand that.
You want to give them points?
When it's getting bad and they're getting really overly tired or whatnot, and you're overmatching them, you're not giving them points, but you're letting their offense.
That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. That sends the wrong message of sports. In sports, you play to win the game.
Right, but
you play hard. That's the thing.
You play hard. You go out there. You can't tell these kids to give a hat. That's in many is. I think that would have been so bad if Buchanan said, "Hey, let them get a few plays here and there." That'd have been a terrible message to send your kids because at the end of the day, you're telling them just to kind of give up.
And isn't that more insulting to the other team?
Right.
Oh, you know what? We're beating you so bad. Let us take a few knees over here.
Right. That insults the other team. That's a sign of that's disrespect at the end of the day. If I found out that someone else, you know, my opponent is going easy on me, I would take that as a slap in the face and an insult at the end of the day.
All right, fair. But do you guys think that's ever happened in the professional ranks where teams have kind of let up a couple plays, take it easy.
Maybe if they're getting paid to do it.
Yeah, maybe if they're like shaving points or something.
Exactly. You can't rule that out. You can't rule that out.
But at the end of the day, you know, when I heard this report, I kind of laughed because at the end of the day, you know, you can't tell your kids, especially if you're doing everything in your power not to run up the score. At the end of the day, if your opponent can't stop, you know, you running, or if your opponent can't stop you through the air, if your opponent can't stop you, and that's not on you. That's their fault. Get better. You know what I mean? Suck it up. Take the loss. Get better. You know what I mean? That's a harsh message, but at the end of the day, I mean, that's sports, man. You're going to lose. I mean, that's from you know, youth-level sports all the way on up to the pros. You're going to lose. And how you deal with that loss tells a lot about your character. And I think this parent filing the bullying report, that's cowardly. You know what I mean? That's like, come on, dude. Really? You know what I mean? It's not like an opposing player. It's not like a student filed through a bullying report. This is a parent watching the game. He's not even on the field. And, you know, maybe one of his kids are out there getting embarrassed. I don't know. But at the end of the day, that is very cowardly. And, Alex, going back to your point, I mean, that would have sent the wrong message if Buchanan was like, hey, let's give him a touchdown. That's not sports,
no,
man.
No, come on. They're grown. They're not in elementary school, middle school, still
that's
learning,
what makes
learning
it so
how to
bad.
Play hard.
So you're telling me if Tim Buchanan said, go out there, give him a touchdown, ease up on the pedal
no,
a little
not
bit.
Not giving a touchdown. What I'm saying is let the offense run down the field, so then giving them more time of the ball and let them
that's
get
ridiculous.
Better. Letting them get better a little bit. Letting them practice a little bit more.
It is not Tim Buchanan's job to help the other team get better by letting them move the ball.
Right, exactly. How does that aid in high school sports? You try to get better every game. How does that aid in that team getting better?
Because it gives
Oh, yeah, but we completed a few passes when they let us. Did you see that?
They don't have to know.
Like, come on.
They're never going to know that they let them.
Come on, Alex. That is ridiculous.
Especially because it's the second stringers that went in.
Exactly.
You're telling me I'm a second string player and I have to go in and give 50% effort?
Right. That's
I'm
going to
be angry.
Right. That just sends the wrong. Like I said, I mean, at the end of the day, if I found out, if it ever came out that another team that I was playing let up on me and gave me some points or gave me plays here and there, I'm taking that as an insult. That's a slap in the face, man. So, I don't know.
All right. Well, there are many games where I've played against younger teams, and, you know, I've seen, and maybe this is bad coaching, but there have been coaches that said, all right, guys, you know, we're obviously beating them. Just, you know, take it easy a little bit. Take it easy a little bit. So, I don't think there's anything wrong with taking it easy, but, it's to the extent. You don't want to give 50%, but I do
right.
think there is a fine line of – an unsaid, unspoken, unwritten rule of easing up,
right?
To some degree.
Is easing up like isn't running the ball all second half and playing your third stringers? Is that not the definition of easing
up?
No,
I agree.
I mean,
right. You know, and Aaron brings up a good point. I mean, there's more to the game of football than just a score. There's a lot more there's a lot more to sports in general than just a score. When I look at this story, what sticks out to me is I think this is just a case of a parent just taking a loss too personal. You know what I mean? Just too personal. You're going to lose in sports, whether it be by 2 points or whether it be by 91 points. You know what I mean?
And so are your kids.
You have to learn how to deal with those situations and just say, hey, take the loss, learn from it, and get better. You know what I mean? Suck it up. I'm old school, man. I'm like, you know, if you get blown out during a game, that should serve as a rallying point and motivate you to say, hey, all right, I'm taking that personal that we did get blown out, and I want to come back better, you know? And I kind of go back to the you remember when there's a part where Jimmy Johnson, of course, he used to coach the Miami Hurricanes. He says in there that, hey, you know, because he was accused of running up points sometimes, you know, with the U. They were a great college football team. But he has a quote in that documentary where he says, hey, if you can't stop us, I'm trying to score every time I get the ball. If you can't stop us, that's not my problem. That's on you. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, if I'm just better than you, that's how it goes sometimes. That's how it goes sometimes. But, man, that's funny. If you want to comment on this, give us a call, 517-355-9527. We only have about, a minute left. Wow, geez, time flies, guys. My goodness. Or comment on our Facebook page. We'll get to it. We'll get to your comment tomorrow and read it here on the show. Facebook.com/currentsports. Or even tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. Well, great Barbershop Wednesday, guys. Tomorrow, of course, is Throwback Thursday. We still got a lot to talk about.
You guys watching World Series at all?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Without a doubt. Without a doubt, baby. No?
That's like.
Well, there you have it, folks. Another Current Sports is in the books. Again, I want to thank all of you out there for tuning in. And you know what? Thanks to, especially thanks to everyone that contributed to today's episode of Current Sports. Production assistants Alex Sharp, Matt Lucky, engineer Aaron Young, Peter Worf, our station manager here at WKAR. Again, if you want to be a part of the audience, Current Sports TV, tonight, sign up at WKAR.org. I sit down with Sally Noble. You can listen to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing and WKAR FM HD3 East Lansing. As always, take care, have a fantastic day, and be easy, people.